For the opportunity to be in your midst. I also wish to appreciate the Lord for Pastor Chesa, that I would find grace. One thing I've discovered is that I think God deals with me in just grace all the time. Sure, I don't know about you, but me, I think it's all grace all the time. Because, you know, some of us are not much to look at. Sure, there's nothing you would desire about me. And even, we don't even have a name in this world. Sure. Yeah. I'm not even a well-known preacher. Sure, I normally preach in the villages back home. Sure, so to even be asked to preach here, I think it's just grace. Yeah, because then it means that people have gone beyond the flesh, the veil. They have decided to disregard all that about me. I mean, even my English. Do you know that back home we think Zimbabweans speak better English than us? So there isn't anything that I would actually give you. And with my wife at home, we also think that Zimbabwe has some of the best preachers in the message.
So
then it becomes hard to come and preach here. It is easier to go talk to someone and say, do you know that the message, God has brought us a message. You need to repent. You need to follow the word of the hour. It becomes easy to do that. Yeah, but to come to a church that is already established like this, you don't know what to preach when you are just a basic preacher. And I also wish to appreciate Brother Mdombo. You know, maybe I shouldn't say much, but I appreciate him. He's a man of God. Sure, and the few words of encouragement he gave me back there, I appreciate that a lot. I'm sorry maybe for speaking like this too much. I'm just trying to, forgive me. I know maybe time is fast spent. So sometimes people feel like, why doesn't he just go into the word? That's what we have come for. Yeah, but just bear with me, I'm trying to settle down to remove my nervousness so that then we can read the scripture. Hallelujah. But one thing that encourages me, you know, I've been coming here for a lot of times. I like to sit that side there. Yeah, but one thing I know is that you love the word. Yes, I've noted your responses when the word is being preached. And you actually feel that the word is welcome in this place. So I've always enjoyed myself. Even the singing, I've always enjoyed myself. So just bear with me and just pray for me. Just also love me. Just go beyond this veil. That is nothing to look at. But maybe let's just wait from the Lord. Whatever he has desired to speak to us. I've seen Sister Chesa there.
Sister Chesa,
God bless you. She has been a wonderful sister. We've not met much back home in Malawi. But she has always been a blessing. And may God richly bless her. Sure. Hallelujah. I know there are so many other brothers and sisters. Maybe but I don't think I know many people here. But God richly bless you for welcoming me. May we turn our Bibles to the book of Genesis 1.
Genesis 1,
verse 26. And then we'll read Proverbs 23, verse 7.
Proverbs 23, 7.
Genesis 1, verse 26.
Genesis 1, 26.
And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
Mwari akati ngatiite munhu mufananidzo wedu akafanana nesu ngave nesimba pamusoro pehove dzegungwa nepamusoro peshiri dzedenga nepamusoro pezvipfuwo nepamusoro penyika yese nepamusoro pezvipenyu zvose nezvinokambaira panyika.
Proverbs 23 verse 7.
Zvirevo 23.
We'll just read the first part of the verse. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Sezvo anofunga mumwoyo make ndozvari.
For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Sezvo anofunga mumwoyo make ndozvari.
So maybe we just title our message for a subject.
Tichipa musoro kumaridzo yedu.
As a man thinketh in his heart.
Sezvinongofungwa nemunhu mumwoyo make.
Maybe before we sit, let us pray again.
Satagara tinamate.
Our dear Heavenly Father, here we are gathered before you. We believe you are here because you promised that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you will be there in their midst, and you always keep your word. And we desire, Lord, that you will be the guest speaker, that no one else will speak but you, that even my own thoughts, my own notes will not matter, but your word only. And Lord Jesus Christ, by the end of the day, we want to be able to speak like those who are going to Emmaus, that did not our hearts burn. But we also want to go even beyond that, to be able to see you, to be able to recognize you, not after the message, but right while you are speaking to us, so that we'll be able to benefit from this service. In your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We may sit down.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, God has given us freedom. Free moral agency. You have the freedom to choose what kind of a life you are living every day. You know, sometimes we beat ourselves too much and we behave unseemly. But before God, we are very precious. So much so that He doesn't want you to force you to do anything. He will present the way and let you make a choice. Sure. He wants to show you that this is death and this is life. But He will not hold your neck like that and say, follow me. Follow the right thing. He will actually give you the opportunity to choose what you want to do with your life. And this is where I have noted from reading what the prophet has been saying so many messages. This is where the Christian fails. Or the believer. When given the opportunity to choose, we tend to run away from responsibility. We tend to run away from our own responsibility. There are so many things that we push back to God. But God says, no. I have given you the opportunity to choose. I've presented the word to you. I died on the cross so that you would have all the freedom to choose. In the past, before his death, it should have been very difficult for man to choose the right thing. But you see, since he died, he made it very easy for us. It was hard for people to go into the Holy of Holies. Only one in a year, the high priest, would be allowed to go in. But even then, people feared for his life. They actually had to tie a string or a rope. Hallelujah. So that if he died in there, they would be able to pull him. No one would be allowed to go in. But to be sure that he's still alive, we all know this. We know it. That there were bells tied around him as well. So that as he is walking, those bells would ring. So they would know that the man is alive. It was so fearful to be in the presence of God. So much that even our brother Isaiah, the prophet, he said, woe unto me, because he had seen the glory of God. It was so fearful. Hallelujah. but God has made everything simple for
us. Zvino Mwari aita kuti zvinhu zvese zvive nyore kwatiri.
We can easily choose what we want.
Tinokwanisa kusarudza zviri nyore zvatinoda.
And this is a responsibility.
Uyu mungava.
That many in the message.
Wekuti vazhinji mumhanyo.
Tend to push to their pastor.
Vanoda kusundira
pastor
avaitire kana
to their preachers. To their father and mother.
Kana baba namai avaitire.
To their fellow brother and sister. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this is where we fail.
Ndo pato kundikana.
We have to take responsibility for our lives. Do you know that the way you are now?
Nzira yauri izvozvi.
Oh, I am a very sickly person. Do you know that is a choice?
Sure.
You have taken responsibility for the quality of life that you are living now. Without actually accepting it, but the quality of life you are living now is a result of the choices you have made. You are responsible. My brother, my sister, you are very responsible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sure, even your daily life, physically.
Sure.
Do you know it is a shame for us brothers and sisters to be complaining about money? I'm just bringing this now so that we get it out of there and get to the real stuff.
Sure.
Yes, it is a shame for a Christian to worry about money. And then we start passing that thought to our children, to our fellow brothers and sisters. I couldn't do this because of money. I couldn't do this. Back home, at home, I always ask, which quotation is that? You couldn't do that because of money. You couldn't do that because of finances. What quotation is that? Hallelujah. Because I always say, it is a choice. You have made a decision that that's how things will be. I know when I started speaking like this, the people said, what kind of job does the brother hold back home? You know, you see, and that's the mistake we make. It's not about jobs. It's not about money. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's about taking responsibility the way the Lord has told us to do. Sure. Do you know that as a Christian, my brother, if you can't feed your house, you are worse than an infidel. Sure, that's the word. If you can't, I know, sometimes we like to feel like victims. Life is hard. I don't have a good job like my brother. Oh, I don't earn the same money as my brother. But who said we should be comparing with one another? Who said so? If you can't take care of your children and your wife, my brother, you are worse than an infidel. Sure. Because that's what the word says. And I'm sorry to say this, but I have to hit it hard because we sometimes get so comfortable until Christians become beggars. Sure, it is a shame to the gospel of the Lord for Christians to be begging. Hallelujah. Look at what the scripture is saying. God creating man in his own image. To have dominion. To have control. To have everything under him. But when we say that, then people start thinking about money. Who said we are talking about money? This is not about money. Hallelujah. Do you remember our brother needed to pay tax?
And
do you know what the Lord did? He said, go and fish. It was not about money. He could have even chosen something else to do. But our brother, he was a fisherman. So he just told him, go and fish. And out of that fish, you will get out money to pay tax for yourself and me. Do you see what I'm trying to say here? Hallelujah. We are in control. But we choose. The quality of life we are living is a result of our own choices. No. You know, I would have had a good job. But you know, my parents did not have enough money to for school and things like. Yes, we know that's true. But the quality of life you are living now is not because of your parents. No. My brother, my sister, the moment we take full charge of our lives. Hallelujah. That's when things start changing. Hallelujah. Don't complain about so and so. There are so many brothers and sisters I've met in this message who complain about how now we have lost all the love we had in the beginning, which is true. Yes, who speak that from the pulpit? Who speak that from the pulpit? Because it is true. But then a brother who complained in the past, when I did not have school fees, brothers would rush to pay for all my children. But now look at me. What are you complaining about? The moment you start complaining as a Christian, that people are not looking after you, you should be ashamed of yourself. Because you are the one who is to be in control, not a victim. A Christian is not a victim. Look at all these cars here. And I'm failing to eat in my home. Yet we have brothers in the church with good jobs. My brother, who said you should be loved? Who said so? The Bible says you love. It is your responsibility to love your brother. Not to start crying that people don't love you. That's what the Lord told us. You are the one to exercise love. And not start complaining that no one loves you. Hallelujah. And after all, we should even expect that. That the world will hate us. But you are the one to express love. Your fellow brother and sister. If love is dead amongst the believers, then there is no one going to heaven. Because you yourself, who is saying that, you are also not going to heaven. Sure. Because if love is dead amongst the believers, then you are also not loving your fellow brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we want to give control to someone else. When we are responsible for our very actions and life. Sure. In the message, by faith Moses, paragraph E31, I will not start maybe from the first line. I will just go a little bit down there. You are today what you are. Because several years ago, you chose what you are now. You chose. Hallelujah. Whatever kind of life you are living, physically and spiritually, my brother, my sister, you chose. You chose. Hallelujah. And what you choose now will determine what you will be 5 years from today. Yes, we are always choosing. Free moral agency. 5 years from today, you may be a missionary. 5 years from today, you may be a renowned Christian. So if you are not a renowned Christian, it is not because people don't recognize you. But you made a choice 5 years ago. And today you are a weakling. You are a problem in the church. Because you made a choice 5 years ago. Hallelujah. We look at other people and we admire them. Oh, so and so. Oh, such a wonderful Christian. Oh, so and so. If only I could be like them. You poor Christian. Oh, if only I could be like them. You don't have to do that. You are living the life you are living because you made a choice. No. My choice was to be a very renowned Christian, a very strong Christian. No. I will not believe what you are saying. I will just look at your life. And it will prove what you chose 5 years ago. Sure. Do you know that we... you know, we waste the deacon's time, we waste the pastor's time. Oh no, I have this problem. I'm not saying it's wrong. We should, yes, talk to them about what we are going through. That's the right thing to do. But I'm saying there are so many times that we waste people's time because we are failing to make a decision. We are failing to take responsibility for our lives. And then we live that kind of a life. And we start complaining that we are failing to progress as Christians. But the prophet says, you made a decision. You chose. So when you are coming to seek help, the first thing you need to do is choose what you want. Don't start wasting people's time before you have made a decision what you want to be. I was actually shocked. I was reading, I think some scientists had done some research and some tests. They discovered that when a person makes a major decision in their life, they were saying, this is not the prophet. I'm just talking about what science says. They were saying, actually, chemically, the brain changes. They say it realigns itself to stand with that decision. I was shocked that they are saying things that the prophet has already talked about. Hallelujah. Sure, they are only discovering these things now. Hallelujah. But you make a decision, you make a choice. 5 years from today, you may be in hell because you made the wrong decision. 5 years from today, you may be cleaning spittons in a barroom. Yes, sure. A brother or sister who is seated here, 5 years from today could be that. People have drunk their beer. They are spitting on the barroom floor and you are there cleaning up. Sure. Earning a living like that. But it is a choice. It is a choice. God has given us free moral agency. If only we knew the power we hold in our hands to be able to choose, we would all be very strong Christians. And just imagine what kind of a church we would have if everybody took responsibility. 5 years from today, you may be a prostitute on the street. Hallelujah. You may be a prostitute. My brother, how can you say that I'm married? I love my husband. But 5 years from today, you may be a prostitute on the street there. You see, but how can a person choose to be a prostitute? You see, talk to the lady or the man cleaning spittons in the bar. Did you choose to do this job? No. Life is hard. I didn't choose this. Who can choose this kind of a job? But the prophet is saying, actually, not even the prophet, God is saying, for you to be there, you made a choice. So who are we going to believe? So in whatever state you are in life, physical and spiritual, you made a choice. Because that's what God is saying here. Hallelujah. 5 years from today, you may be in glory, going in the rapture. Because of a choice that you made. Hallelujah. If we only took charge of the decisions we are making daily, took responsibility. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know why am I saying this? The prophet says, and the Bible says in Proverbs 23, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Hallelujah. So many Christians in the message. Maybe people who have been in the message for 30 years or more, 20 years, 15 years, 5 years, 10 years,
15, 10 years,
1 year, 6 months, 2 months, 1 week in the message. But if you notice, there is one worrying trend.
pane chinhu muhwezva umwe chete unonzwisa tsitsi.
It appears there is a sickness. That people just can't get to get a routine
kuti
in their lives.
Avagoni kusvika pavanogona kuita zvinhu zvakarongeka mupenyu wavo.
Where they are able to read the word of God.
Zvekuti vanogona kuverenga shoko raMwari.
Where it is a habit.
Pekuti kuverenga shoko chinoita chijairira.
Where they are able to pray every day.
Pavanogona kunamata zuva rega rega.
The prophet says.
Prophet anoti.
A genuine Christian
muKristu wemazviro kwazvo
prays every day.
Anonamata zuva rega rega.
A genuine Christian
muKristu wemazviro kwazvo
reads his Bible or her Bible every day.
Rake zuva rega rega.
A genuine Christian
muKristu wemazviro kwazvo.
Now my brother, my sister,
hama yangu adzvadzi,
you know very well,
unozviziva,
you don't do that every day.
Kuti iwe hauzviite izvi zuva rega rega, unozviziva.
So then, are we allowed to say you are a fake Christian? I'm just asking a question. I'm not saying you are a fake Christian. But a genuine Christian reads his Bible every day. Prays every day. So if you don't do these things every day, then where do we place you? All these years you've been in the message, you just can't seem to get a hold of that. It appears to just slip through the fingers of believers. Family order appears to be a huge problem for most homes. And I know you may not say amen, but you know that it is true. Hallelujah. It is true. And yet we've been in the message for years and years. But those basics, we just don't seem to get them. What is happening? Are we genuine Christians? Hallelujah. You see, sometimes, I was just talking back home. And saying, you see, if I've just maybe taken a meal, maybe I was eating vegetables. And then I take a mirror. And I see there is a piece of spinach here. And I say, hey, things are bad. I can't go out like this. I take a toothpick. I take the mirror. And check there. And see that piece of spinach there. So I take my toothpick. And start removing. Because that's where I have seen the problem. And I try to remove from the mirror. I mean, even the little boy there is laughing. Because you would not expect a normal person to do that. You see, and that's exactly what Christians are doing. We notice by the preaching of the word that there is a problem. And then we try to sort it out like that.
Sure.
But my brother, the next time you look in the mirror, you will try to remove it like that. In the mirror, oh yeah, this piece of spinach. Eh? This is the mirror. You are trying to remove. You work very hard. Work very hard. But the next time you come and somebody gives you a mirror again, there the piece of spinach is. And that's what is happening. Oh, Lord, help me. I wanted to love reading the word. Oh Lord, help me. I wanted to be a prayerful Christian. Oh Lord, help me. 2 weeks down the line. That's the same prayer the brother is praying. That's the same issue. It hasn't worked. It never worked. They sought the Lord to help. And they said the Lord answers prayer. But why is it years and years have passed? My brother, that's the prayer always, every meeting. You know you are failing to read your Bible every day. Hallelujah. You see, the problem is we are not going to the source. Hallelujah. Mm. So the prophet is trying to show us, if we need to resolve these issues, so many other issues in our life, the quality of our Christian life, there is somewhere we have to start from. Because you may say, oh yeah, I know the prophet actually said, what I need to sort out is to receive the Holy Ghost. Yes, he said that. But you will not receive the Holy Ghost.
Sure.
And your own life proves that. That although the prophet said you must receive the Holy Ghost for you to live the life, for you to love reading the word, for you to do this and that, but my brother, you will never receive. You see, because we take the action first. But that's not how God works. That's not what the prophet has taught us. We rush into a thing. Oh God, help me. I don't read the message. I don't pray. What is wrong with me? Yes, you are doing the right thing by praying. But God. But see, I'm saying, yeah, I know. When I'm preaching these things, sometimes people start questioning, where is this brother taking this? Don't worry. Don't worry. It's the word. And you will be able to go through some quotations. But what I'm saying is, your very life proves that God is not answering your prayer. When you say, please help me, I want to be prayerful. I want to love listening to the text. I wanted to love reading the Bible. But it appears God doesn't want to answer. Yet we say He's a God who answers prayer. What is happening? Why is God not interested? He is telling you, you should read your Bible. And when you ask Him to help you, He seems not to be interested. And years are passing in the message. What kind of God are we worshipping? Who doesn't want to answer prayer? I've been praying. At home. At church. God help me. I wanted to love reading the message. To read the Bible. But it's not happening just
right.
Hallelujah. 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 You see, when we approach things wrong, We should never expect God to come in. Hallelujah. Because He goes by His word. Okay, I'll get back to that. In the message, Wisdom versus Faith, paragraph 190. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. See, the word was in God. It was God. Hallelujah. Now the prophet here is taking us beyond the beginning. Because in the beginning was the word. But what he wants us to see here is that we should go beyond the beginning to see where it's all starting. Hallelujah. It was his thoughts that was with him, always there. So here we are not just talking about the word. But before there was the word, God had thoughts, which we now call the word. Because he expressed those thoughts. God's thoughts is as eternal as God is. Amen. That ain't skim milk. See, here it comes. God's thoughts was his word in the beginning. Thus in eternity now, when the beginning first started time. In the beginning was the word. God's thoughts. Yes, actually that word was God's thoughts. And the word was with God. And the word was God. His thoughts is what he was. And paragraph 191. Thus you too. God is his thoughts. And you are your thoughts. So do you see where now I'm reading to? Whatever kind of life you are living now, I'm saying spiritual and physical, is a result of your thoughts. Don't blame brothers for not wanting to show love to you, for not helping you out. No. The life you are living now is a result of your thoughts. Because what God is His thoughts. And He says, "That's you too." Hallelujah. So this is time that we should take responsibility of our thoughts. Because they are defining. They are defining the quality of life we are living, both spiritually and physically.
Some say,
God help me. I need this. God help me, I need that. I want to be like this. God will not answer. Because you have established certain thought patterns that God will not actually help God to come in into your situation.
Sure.
You'll fast. Go up the mountain. Sleep here in church. And God is unmoved. And yet He answers prayer. Why is He not coming into my situation? The thought patterns you have established in your life. God can't move. Take responsibility for the kind of thoughts you are entertaining. Because they are defining what kind of a Christian you are. Sure. Do you see how God has loved us so much? To make these things so simple. And just pray wherever you are. That God just open this up more and more to me. And see how, I'm saying, and see how you move forward. The very things you think have been holding you back. See how you move. See how God deals with you. I'm saying, my brother, my sister, when we take these things to heart, things have to change. Because it is your thoughts that are defining the kind of life you are living. Oh, it's hard to find a faithful brother in this message. Oh, God help me. Yes, my sister. It is hard for you. You are your thoughts. It is hard. It is hard to find a job when you don't have a degree. When you don't have a college degree, it is hard. Yes, my brother. As long as you think that, that's exactly the kind of life you live. Hallelujah. Your thoughts are defining the kind of life you are living. That is why this person is actually out there in the barroom cleaning spittons, as the prophet said. Hallelujah. We make our choices. We think a certain way. And then life goes on like that. We can't do this because of money. And then our children grow up like that. Where they are spiritually challenged. That they have to depend on money.
And then,
sure, and to prove that, see the kind of prayers that brothers will bring forward. Even when they are praying there, we are not supposed to listen to one another's prayers. But I'm saying, sometimes you can't help it. So and so is asking for money. So and so is asking for money. So this is where their heart is. This is what they think they need. But my brother and sister, I'm saying, it's not the money that you need. You think if you have that money, then you'll be able to do 1, 2, 3. Maybe it is true. Yeah, because you are defined by your thoughts. But I'm saying, it is a shame when the Christians tie their lives to money. Do you know that as a Christian, I don't even have to ask for money from God? Sure. Yes. What is it that I need? Sure. What is it that I need? Is it the money? Or the house that I want? I'm just asking. We have actually exhorted money so much that the devil has cheated us. Then we don't even go with our needs to God. We ask for money from God.
And,
but he says, ask for what you desire. Is it money that you desire, my brother? You see, we can't even express our desire to God. We feel when we have asked for money, that's the right thing. Is money wrong? No, I'm not saying money is wrong. Why am I saying this thing? I don't want to dwell so much on this. But I'm trying to prick that mindset. Sure. To say, no. We have focused so much, and that's why even the Bible says, even the prophet says, we have our mind so much on money and things. Sure. Yet he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Do you know that very few believers believe that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. What they will do is seek the money first. And then come and give a testimony. Oh, God has been kind to me. Look what he has done for me, my brother. No. You worked hard yourself. God was not involved. Maybe the only thing God did was to give you a healthy life so that you could be able to do your job and get the money you want. But otherwise, God was not involved. So we try to stretch here, borrow a little of money from that one, do this, that. And then the Christian is not even happy. Is it wrong to go and borrow money? No, I'm not saying it's wrong. But I'm saying, before rushing to do those things, if we just cleaned up our mindset, what kind of thoughts are circulating in my mind? My brother would live such a quality life. Do you know, one of the cases of this Laodicean age is the love of money. Accumulation of wealth. A lot of property. And that also slips into the Christian mind. Because we are in these bodies. We are subject to this world in these bodies. Sure. So that prevailing spirit in this age, sometimes it also influences us. And then we start worrying about money. We start worrying about that. Worrying about this. That. Oh, if I would have that. If I would have this. Until things that really matter in life, we don't even have time for them. We are busy. Hallelujah. But what is it? Our thoughts are defining the kind of life we are living. Hallelujah. And it's becoming fashionable. I'm sorry to say this again, but it's becoming fashionable amongst believers that even Sunday services, continuously, for as long as there is a semester at school, you'll find that brothers will not come, sisters will not come, because, you know, during the week they go to work. So on Sundays they have to go for weekend classes.
Back home,
I don't know what is happening here, but back home.
Extra lesson, yes.
And they will only come to church when they have exams. Because now they are here.
Extra lesson, iwayo. Unozungova ona ku church, nokuti kwaakuda kunyorwa vunzo.
Hallelujah. You see, it's the mindset, our thoughts. The things that really matter in life are left aside. People don't even have time for their own children. Because they are trying to make the extra buck. What the prophet calls the extra buck. The extra dollar. Sure. Sure. But what is it? Do you know, sometimes we can behave like slaves.
But
the way we were designed in God's factory, we were supposed to be rulers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sure, not slaves. Hallelujah. Okay, maybe let me just go on. I think I'm getting ahead of myself. He says, no matter what you try to live by something else, your thoughts is what you are. You might go along, act like a nice fellow, but in your heart you are an adulteress and whatever is. That's what you are. Your thoughts. That is why God actually, you know, God doesn't have to wait to see you committing adultery.
Oh, yes.
For him to declare that there is an adultery. He, she is going to hell. He doesn't have to wait. He just looks at the heart. Your thought. Then he declares that this person is an adulterer. Hallelujah. It's not hard for God. He doesn't have to catch you.
Sure.
He doesn't have to catch you stealing. He just looks at the heart and he sees there is a thief. And yet your whole life you can prove you have never stolen anything. You have never gone against your marriage vow. You can prove that.
That
every day of my life, every minute of my life, I'm with my wife, with my husband. But God declares an adulterer, not going to heaven. How has he done it? He has never caught you. The thoughts. Hallelujah. So, do you see how we present ourselves to God? The thoughts that we let come in and
the
anchor in the mind, then they get into the heart, and then we establish there what kind of life we will live. You may not say it, but those thoughts, are defining the very life we are living. You see, do you know that God created by his thoughts?
Sure.
That's what God did. You see, our problem as human beings, we like to go for the action. I will do that. So that things will come out this way. But that's not how God works. He doesn't rush to do anything. All he has to do is to think about it. And then when he has a thought, it's as good as it has happened already. Because his thoughts are very perfect. So when he thinks it, that's exactly what will happen. So then he just expresses it so that as people who see it, they are manifesting. But when he has thought it, it is as good as done. So, before God could speak, he had already created the world, you and me, in his mind. His thoughts he had already created. Let me just read what the prophet is saying here. God's mind. From the message, the word became flesh in their trip report. God's mind. The mind that in the beginning, that was a thought before it was a word. That expressed Jesus Christ. The same one was expressing that word back again. See? And every word in the Bible, is God's thoughts laid in seed form.
Yes.
Sure. Every word in the Bible is actually a thought of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you see, sometimes we get so excited. Oh, I'll just speak things. And then the people speak and they don't happen. But you see, I'm saying that's where our problem is. We want to go into the action. But that's not how God works. It starts with the thought first. That's where it's sorted out.
If,
then, if in the thought it is established,
kana zvadzika midzi mupfungwa,
my brother, then it will have to happen when you speak. Because that's how God did it. And here he is creating man in his own image to follow the same pattern.
Kuti munhu atevere hurongwa humwewo.
It has to be a thought first.
Ngaitange iri pfungwa.
So let's just continue reading that. Every word in the Bible is God's thoughts laid in seed form.
Ipfungwa yaMwari iri mbeu.
That if he received into the human being,
kuti ikagamuchirwa kupinda mumunhu,
and he spoke by the same thought that materialized the Bible.
Potaurwa nepfungwa imwe cheteyo yakaita kuti Bhaibheri rivepo.
Sure. So what is backing this word? It is the thought that materialized the Bible.
Pfungwa yakasika Bhaibheri ndoinenge yakatsigira shoko iri.
If we have that thought,
kana tine pfungwa iyi
that materialized the Bible,
yakaunza Bhaibheri,
and then we speak,
totaura
manje. My brother, I don't care what people say.
Azvine kuti vanhu vanoti zvichaitika chete.
But then we rush into the action.
Tiri kumhanyira kupinda muchitiko.
Sorting out the thought first.
Tisati tapedzerana nenhau yepfungwa.
A man thinketh in his heart.
Sekufunga unoita munhu mumwoyo make.
So is he.
Ndozvari.
So you may speak,
unogona
but the thought,
asi pfungwa
is not in alignment with the word.
Pfungwa yako ka inenge
isiri. Is not backed by that thought from God.
Chete neshoko. Shoko rako regeresa kutsikirwa nepfungwa yaMwari.
So you may say, yes, the word says, ask and you shall receive. I will ask, but you will not receive.
Unogona kuti eh, shoko rinoti kumbirai munopuwa, ugokumbira ugotadza kupuwa.
Why? Because the thought backing you up
nekuti pfungwa iri
kukutsigira to go into prayer to ask
kuti upinde kunokumbira
is not in alignment with the thought of God that you brought in that promise.
Gwara rimwe chete nepfungwa yaMwari yakaunza vimbiso iyoyo.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you speak
kana ukataura
with the same thought that materializes the Bible, it brings the thing to pass. See what I mean? How powerful could the church be?
Kereke ingada ine simba rakadiko.
The Bible said, let this mind be in you. Well, that was in Christ, be in you. Do you see there? He's saying, do you see where he's bringing in that scripture? Right where he's talking about speaking, making things materialize by your way. He's saying, as a man thinketh in his heart. So is as a result of what you are thinking in your heart, which is backed by the thought that brought the word.
Then it has to happen.
So he says, how powerful could the church be? Now your thoughts, if they become expression, like God said, let there be a word. Before it could be a word, it had to be a thought. So God in the creation created the world by his thought first. Yes, you see, he is creating in his thought first. And then it's very easy for it to materialize. It will not be hard. Because he has already created it. If at this point, if you were there and asked God, what are you thinking? You say, I've created a world. But where is it? To him it doesn't matter. As long as he has thought it, that's what will happen. Because then he will speak it. You see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's what you are feeding into that heart. That's what will come out. Hallelujah. So God is creating here. And the thought expressed became material. See what I mean? In the message identification, paragraph 51, We have got to take the entire full gospel.
Tinofanira kutora vhangeri rose rakakwana.
And now, being that we have identified ourselves as full gospel people, let us mold our character. We are invited to be molded in His image that we might reflect His presence.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, He says, and the works that I do, you shall also do. We are invited by God to take Him as an example. And let our character be molded like His character. What a thing. Then when we let His character be in us, then we become sons by having the mind of Christ. Mind which is His character. Your mind makes your character. Do you see how God is simplifying these things to us? Oh, I want the character of the bride. He says He will come for a bride that has character. Oh, I want to have the character of the bride. But how will it happen? Your mind is actually making your character. That's how God is simplifying these things to us. And we can never get these anywhere else apart from the message of the hour. That is why you will never find anyone else out of this world having the character of Christ. Sure. People can copy, but they can't get to this. Because in the message, we are shown exactly how we should get there. Hallelujah. Let the mind, so He says, your mind makes your character. Hallelujah. 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 Do you know that your heart, that's where you live? Sure, in your soul. That's exactly where you live. We worry so much about this body, about the spirit, but we live in our hearts, in our soul. That's where a human being lives. So God says, sort out that heart, sort out that soul. Check what you are feeding it. Because their thoughts there will determine what kind of life you are living. Let me give you an example. An example here. Here is a sister. She comes to the prophet after the message has been preached. She says, oh, I want prayer. I'm sick. Then the prophet actually looks at her. And he says, ah, you are dying. Your condition is nervousness. She was breaking down all the time. God showed the prophet what the problem was with the sister. And now he says, then he discovers that a few nights ago you were here, my sister. The prophet realizes that. She had been prayed for a few nights ago. But here she is again, asking for prayer. What is happening? I'm saying, we will feel sorry for that sister, but look what we do with our own very lives, every day. Oh God, I want to love reading the word. Oh God, I want to be prayerful. 1 month later, we are still not prayerful. We are still not reading the word. And this is exactly what our sister is doing here. We will feel sorry for her. But that's exactly the way we are living our lives. And 1 more month later, oh God, help me. I'm not prayerful. When will you become prayerful? Is God not answering? We should take responsibility. Now, this sister is here. A few nights ago she was prayed for. She comes before the prophet. And the prophet notices that she is actually dying. And he says, your doctor knows that too. That you are dying. She is dying. But what does he do? You see, how the prophet is handling this issue. He's just saying, oh, let's pray again. No. It will not help. Even the very first time they prayed, it never helped. Here she is. So what is the problem? How can this sister be helped? Listen carefully here. Because right where you are seated, I'm saying, as we are reading these things, you can get healed. Even from that very disease that has been troubling you year in, year out. We have come to the point where we glorify diabetes so much. These are diseases that normally stick around the church. Maybe not necessarily around the church, but among some believers.
Sure,
they stick around. Yeah. And right where we are seated, we know I have diabetes. But for how long? Oh, I have heart problems. I will not drink that. You know, that's not good for my heart. With my heart condition. Which condition? Hallelujah. You know, God is good. Here he is helping our sister. If it is malaria, I will easily believe and say, well, just pray for me, I'll be okay.
But
diabetes, but cancer, diabetes, and the others, and high blood pressure.
Diabetes.
We get used to them so much. Becomes like a handbag where you go with it everywhere you go. Even to
church.
Look at the sisters. The time they are going out, they will get their handbag. They just don't want to go anywhere without it. And for some people, their handbag is diabetes. High blood pressure. But today I'm saying, your thoughts are creating the kind of life you are living now. It is not that the disease doesn't have medication. No. It is your thoughts. Hallelujah. See what how he is helping the sister here. Now he is telling the sister, now I want you to do this. Okay, maybe for the sake of reading together. This message is the authority of the word, paragraph E27. But I know sometimes maybe the paragraphs are a bit different.
Authority of the word, E27.
Yeah. This was preached on 2nd June 1953. He says here, now I want you to do this. You are sure to die if you remain in the conditions you are now. You can't live but a little while. And now that's known, even your doctor knows that. But you have got to do this, lady. You see, now it's something for her to do. She is responsible now. If this disease doesn't go, if she dies, she is responsible. Now, if this sister died, and I came to the funeral, I was asked, Brother Saiti preached at the funeral.
What did Brother Saiti?
I would say, God loved our sister. We loved her so much. But you see, it was her time. She has been sick for some time. We prayed for her so many times. But God had better plans for her. It was God's time. Because we prayed the prayer of faith. But she died. So it is because God chose. But did you see that it's actually the sister choosing? Let's listen. He says here, now you have got to do this, lady. You have got to get up above that. See your way of thinking.
Yes.
How can she get above that? Her way of thinking. You mean he doesn't even have to pray? Hallelujah. She is responsible. Whether she dies now or so many years later after having lived a healthy life. But in the condition she is now, she thinks, I am dying. And it's a shame for us believers to let diseases beat us down like that. Because you see, divine healing is children's bread. Sure. Sure. You see, and we don't even have to do a lot. Actually, we were already healed. Do you know that? But because, you see, when you get the victim mentality, where you want people to feel sorry for you. My brother, how are you feeling today? We heard that my lady has hit you so hard.
And you're there.
Hey, yesterday it was bad. But today, it's better. No, the Lord is doing a lot for me. I've seen the hand of God. I am better. You victim. What are you trying to say? That's a lie. How can you say you are feeling better? How can you believe a God like that? You are not feeling better. You are healed. Sure. Hallelujah. You are not feeling better. But you want people to feel sorry for you. So that tomorrow they will bring in some 1 liter pack of juice. And more brothers will come and see you. God is saying you are healed. So you are not feeling better. Out with those lies. Say the truth. The truth is you are healed. Sure. Hallelujah. You are healed. And may we get this vocabulary from out amongst believers. You have been praying for. And here you are saying, I'm feeling better. It's not about feelings, my brother. God has healed you. That's the truth of it. Hallelujah. Why don't we change our thoughts?
See,
we take what the word is saying. You see, do you know that there is nothing creative apart from the word of God?
Or
apart from God's thoughts. So when you get that word, hallelujah, even if people don't pray for you, as long as you have that word, my brother, I don't care what kind of a disease it is. You can get healed. Because it is the word that is creative. Not the palm of a man who will lay hands on you. It's that word. And because we are not feeding on that word. I'm saying, do you know that you can sit here and not feed on the word? Sure. Sure. You become what you are eating. I mean, I eat salsa every day. So this is what I'm becoming. Sure. And then maybe I'll pick a banana there, an apple there, and look at me now. Sure. It's what I'm eating. If I don't eat, I will die. So we are becoming what we are eating. Every day. Hallelujah. 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 So now spiritually, you see, and then we are becoming too fat in the physical. Yes, because we are eating too much. Yeah, you see, I may get fat. Maybe I may not eat as much as the next brother. But for my body, it means maybe the food I'm eating, I may eat a small quantity. But the food I'm eating is actually making me fat.
It's
someone who eats the same. Yeah. But what I'm trying to say here, what I'm saying is, physically we are getting fat.
You eat every day
after eating salsa, you look for a fruit, you take that one and eat. You don't even have to think. You see that fruit, you pick it. Some roasted groundiness there, you pick those and eat. If there is a Fanta,
you finish.
Sure. And we live our life like that. Please, that snack there, you take that too. And we become fat. But spiritually, my brother, you can almost see the spiritual ribs of brothers and sisters. The cheekbones showing that this is anemic. They are not eating. It is so natural and easy for us to finish a bread of salsa. But when it comes to the word, you can't even finish one message. You come to church, even before the preacher is finished, you are already sleeping. Do you see how we are dying? Do you see how we are dying spiritually? We can't move forward. The ribs are showing, my brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, and the cheekbones too. They actually show this person is not eating. What is happening? You become what your thoughts are. And that's how the devil is getting you. If you get the thoughts that God expressed in the beginning, the word, see what will happen. See how fat you will get. See how strong you will get. But I'm saying you can stay here, sit here to listen to the word, but yet not feeding. So the prophet says, we come to church to meditate on the word. Not to just listen, but we start meditating. So, because that word is creative, when it is received, it has to bear. It has to bear something. And it bears its kind. So if it is about reading the word, if it is received, that's what you will become. Exactly, my brother. So you see how for so many years we come to church, but we are not meditating when we come here. We are not receiving that word. So we always complain, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. But God has already spoken. If you had fed on that word, my brother, you would have lived exactly that kind of life. Exactly. You would have become that. Because you become what your thoughts are. Do you see how God is making this easy for us? To be able to attain the kind of character He has designated for the bride. Hallelujah. Ah, that's how God loves us. That's how He loves us. He makes it so simple for us. Start with your thoughts first. Feed on that word. Not just listen. Meditate. If you allow me maybe to just throw in a little testimony here. I know you have so many testimonies. And great ones. Yeah, in the past I used to say, my little testimony, but it's not a little one. You know why? And please, let us never be little God that way. If it is God who has done it, then it is not a little thing. Sure. So let's not go about belittling God. It may look small, yes, I know. It may look small. But it is something that God has done. So, through this, so many years ago, before I got married, when I saw these things, they shook me so much. I said, God, no. Then I took the Bible. Started reading. Where it says, do not worry about tomorrow. What you will eat or drink, even about clothing, what you will put on. Because you are having a father who actually takes care of that. I said, God, no. You are challenging me here. And I said, I've read this so many times. I've heard it at church. But no, I really want to feed on this. Then I locked myself in the room. Read again. And we prayed. I said, God, reveal this to me. What are you trying to say here? Then I prayed. Read the Bible again. Prayed again. Read. And then it just clicked like that. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. Now I've got it. I will never worry. And do you know what God does? Because you are becoming the thoughts you have been entertaining. Then God proves that. 2 weeks later, the boy I was staying with watched my clothing, and then you see what was happening. It was God just preparing something to happen. I would put on clothing and not even wash, just pile it up like that. So for 2 weeks, I would just pile clothing like that. Then what happened? The second week, by the end of the second week, I remembered that I had not been washing.
So
I asked this boy to wash all my clothes. I just had something, maybe just only one decent piece, set of clothing for work. So then, I went to work. Boy washed the clothing and went away.
Thieves
came, a thief came and stole everything. Even the pigs. Then the boy came to my office. When he went back to home, he found that all the clothing was stolen. Asked all the neighbors. The neighbors said, no, we have not seen anyone. We are sorry, we can't help you. So because he was so shocked, he thought I would accuse him of being negligent. He came to my place of work. And said, I'm sorry. Something has happened that
day.
I said, what is it? He said, no, they have stolen all your clothing. And this was my best Sunday clothing and whatever I put on going to work. But you see, we become what our thoughts are. I said, but why are you worried? Go back home. This is not an issue. I said, what? This is not an issue. I said, why? I said, I mean, for me, clothing is not an issue.
Tomorrow I'll have clothing.
Then he went back home.
You
see, I wasn't even actually thinking. I was not like consciously thinking about it. I was just saying what was in my heart. I went home. There was a brother there. He said, my brother, I've just heard that, your clothing has been stolen. Let's pray that God should give you back clothing. Or at least money to buy something else. And I said, my brother, that would be a waste of time. Because when I started kneeling down to say, please God, I need clothing. Today I have clothing. It means when I kneel down to do that, if I kneel down to do that, it means I'm worried about tomorrow. Because today I'm okay. I have clothing. I'm not saying you should say that, but I'm just saying to show you something that happened. So he said, then you mean we shouldn't pray? I said, no, don't pray. Please, because although I'm the owner of the clothing, that is this story. I will not actually pray. What I will do is, I will thank God for the promise that He will take care of tomorrow. And you see what? I was not anxious in my heart about tomorrow, because I was becoming what the word has said. The word said, don't worry about tomorrow. Now I had meditated on it, surrendered my life to God, surrendered everything until I got it, until it was revealed to me. So this time, I didn't even need to ask anything. I knew the promise was mine. So all I had to do, instead of asking, then I told my brother, I mean, if I go to God to ask, if I go to God to ask for clothing, what will he say? He'll say, but I already told you, tomorrow you have clothing. Then why are you asking me? Why don't you just accept what I already said? And I said, yeah, I will not pray. I've already accepted tomorrow I'll have clothing. So the best thing I can do is to thank Him who is providing my clothing. So we knelt down. And I just discovered
that
my brother, my sister, we waste too much time asking for this, that. Why don't we go to the promises and thank God for what He has promised us? Meditate on those promises until they are revealed to you what He means by what He promised. Oh, we praised God. And it was such a wonderful time. And I was saying, but would I have enjoyed like this if I was busy asking, help me, give me clothing? Well, I don't think so. But the following day, early in the morning, before I even got up, I heard a knock on the bedroom door. Come, can you open the door? Please come out here. I said, what is going on? Come.
And
I said, who is... what is happening? Then I went out. And the boy led me. We had our bathroom and toilet was actually detached from the house. So he took me there. He had got up very early to sweep around the house.
He
said, look there. And I saw a big plastic bag with all the clothing neatly folded in there. Hallelujah. Then I said, my Lord, you are truthful. Before I've even got up to think what I wear today, you have already brought clothes. Hallelujah. But did you see where it's coming from? The thought first. Take what God has said. What He has promised you. Meditate on it. Then God will reveal to you what you need to do. Hallelujah. So He revealed to me what I needed to do. Just praise Him for the promise. And in my heart, there was no worry. Because I had become that which I had been meditating on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then there was a day I needed food. Food was running out. I said, hey, I think I need to go and borrow money. And then I noticed that that was mid-month, so many people did not have money. I said, there's that brother. He runs a business. So normally they are cash rich. Maybe if I talk to him, he will spare something for me. I can, and then I'll assure him I'll give him back over the month. I went to his home. I met the children. I said, no, he has gone away. He will actually be back in 2 weeks' time. I said, what is going to happen? So I'm going to die of hunger. But you see, God was trying to teach me something. That, no. Do not depend on me. You see, what God is trying to show, then I started thinking, you see now, the thoughts, you are living the kind of life you are living because of your thoughts. Then, what is happening? Then I said, no, I've been wrong. That brother is not my father. If a child needs food, where does she or he go? To the parent, to the father or mother. Now God is my father and my mother. I'm rushing to go to brothers and sisters. I know they are willing to help. And actually, the word encourages us to help one another. But I'm saying, but because I'm looking at the thoughts in the word, what God had already laid out in the word, that He had already promised He's my father. He had already promised He's my father. I said, no, I'm going about this wrong. I should go talk to my father. And not to a brother. Hallelujah. Then when that happened, you see, something is being created here. You see, it starts with the thought. You look at the word, what He has said. You start feeding on that. Look at your problem. What has God said about this? Meditate on that. See Him open up your heart. To receiving what He promised. Then you see. Then I said, I will talk to my father. My brother is not my father. I know he would be willing to help. I was asking the church back home. I mean, if you are a father or a mother, and your child decides to go next door to ask for food, and you are seated there, you are chatting with your wife or your husband, and then he or she passes you, goes to the neighbor, and says, I am hungry, can you give me food? And then you see them coming with a plate of salsa. So what is going on? I was hungry, so I went to the neighbor. Who told you we don't have the food to give you? I said, I will talk to my father first. Then we talked. But you see, because it's coming from the thoughts, my heart was settled. Then actually, that particular, the other day, then the food ran out. The relationship was staying with me. I'm sorry I'm taking too long. I didn't want even to say this thing, but you see, we just want to give in to God whatever He wants us to say. Because that's the best thing. Hallelujah. So then I'm seated there. My relatives are saying, did you bring us here so that we would die of hunger? There is no food. Why don't you go out and ask for money? Maybe you can buy something so that we can eat. Why don't you do that? Don't you know people who have money? I said, no, don't worry about
that.
And I told them, especially my sister who was doing the cooking. In fact, today, because there is no food here, I'm not going anywhere else. Because God, I've asked God for food, and He hasn't told me to go anywhere else to look for food.
Because
if God answers prayer, then He would have told me go to so and so. But because He hasn't done that, and I believe Him, I will stay here because He hasn't told me to go anywhere else. It means food will come here without me begging from brethren.
Amen.
Because I've begged from Him. So if I have asked God to give me, then I shouldn't, then behind His back, go to somebody else and ask for the same thing. It means I didn't believe Him in the first place. You see, that's how we behave. But it's based on our thoughts. We ask God, God give me this. Then we say, He's not cooking. Let me go behind His back. Brothers, so please. What has God told you? You ask Him, has He responded? Before God has even responded, out there you are. Oh, on the phone, please. I need so much. But has God responded? But you see, so it's not the prayer. First, the thought that will help God to answer you. Hallelujah. Then I said, I'm not going anywhere.
Because
God has not said I should go anywhere.
Else.
If He said so, I would actually go. Then I sat there. Ah, but we are going to die of hunger. You are not responsible. I said, I'm responsible. I've already talked to my father. Then there was a boy who was staying with us, who had been gone away for about 2 weeks. He was coming back. We had given him money to help out in the village. Now here he is coming. So what I told my sister, because they were now pestering me a lot, I said, who brings food in this house? Then they said, you. I said, okay.
So, all right.
Now I'm telling you, as the person who brings food in this home, don't worry. Because I'm not worried. What time do you cook the evening meal? What time do you cook the evening meal? She said, around 6 o'clock. I said,
All right.
So what did you do when you want to cook? Okay, we take the pot, put it on the, maybe the hot plate or whatever, cooker, or on the fire. When the water is just a little bit warm, then we put in a little bit of the flour and stay. I said, So you don't need the flour at this point. This is 2 o'clock. You don't need the flour because you are not cooking now. So then don't worry. When it comes to 6 o'clock, get your pot, put in the water, light the fire, put the pot on the fire. Then when it is warm enough, that's the time you need the flour. Then come talk to me. When the water is warm enough, come talk to me. So she asked me, what are you going to do? I said, don't worry. What you want is the flour. Just come talk to me when the water is warm. Because right now, even if we talk, we don't need the flour. Then I sat there at home. Then around 5-6. What are we going to do? I said, no. What did we agree? Is the water warm? No, I haven't even lighted it. Then don't talk to me about that. Then she went to light the fire, put the water, the water pot on the fire. Then a few minutes later, she said, the water is warm. Then she was going from the house. The water is warm. Then I heard somebody coming in. Actually, the person was looking very dirty because they had flour all over them. So the person was saying, a very big bag of flour.
He said,
And they were saying, why are you bringing this
man?
He said, no, I'm bringing it to your home. I said, but I didn't ask you for
flour.
And I said, yes. Actually, I even told the people who gave me this flour that these people don't need the flour. Yeah. Because my mother said, as long as I am her son, if I accept that I'm her son, I should bring this flour to this house. I said, but I never asked. He said, but then what do I do? I can't take it back. Because I agreed to bring it here.
I said,
don't worry. Because I asked God, so I wanted to be sure that I'm not taking somebody's answer. I wanted to be sure I am accepting God's answer for my problem. Hallelujah. And then my sister was now coming because maybe I wasn't responding. So she was coming now to say, the water is warm. Where is the flour? I said, don't worry. Just get that big bag of flour from this man and then you can go and cook. But what am I saying? Is the thought first. God has made so many promises. He will have a bride without wrinkle or without blemish. When we take those thoughts, the word, start feeding on those things. Not just listening to the not just listening to the preacher preaching, but feeding on it, meditating on that word. My brother, something starts happening. Hallelujah. Do you see how we can quickly get into condition for the rapture? This sister here was dying. She just had to change her thinking. Sure. The prophet is saying, change your thinking. You have got to rise up here where you think you are going to stay. Not dying. You have got to get above it. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Hallelujah. Now people would think that's psychology. Well, but that's the word of God. Hallelujah. So many times we think we are hopeless. And then indeed we become hopeless. Because you see, you are creating that condition yourself. You are responsible. Hallelujah. You are responsible. Hallelujah. Do you know that even as you are seated there, you can actually get healed of any disease as you are feeding on the word? There was a brother who couldn't see in one eye. I think from his youth he was failing to see. It grew worse and worse. Then this is the time when I was saying this. You know, actually, it's feeding on the word. That will actually sort out. Because those thoughts actually create the condition for you to witness God working.
Then
So, he was seated there. Even if you have an eye problem, maybe you can't even see. Do you know that even before you get to the age of 40, when you have eye problems, it's actually just a disease. But when you get to 40
years,
you know very well that now, I'm getting old, old age is... I mean, I would have to put on glasses. That's what normally happens. But before that, it's just a disease. Like any other disease. So saying, right where you are seated, you can get healed. Why? Because it's not the preacher. You see, sometimes we exhort the preacher. The preacher is just exhorting the word. And asking the hearer to exhort the same word.
So
this brother where he was seated, he said, Lord, I believe what is being preached. I accept my healing right here. Then he just heard something hit his eye. Just felt something hit his eye.
He
said, what is this? Then the tears started falling. Then he said, no, God, you have done something. He closed the eye that was actually okay. Took the Bible right there in church while the preaching was going on. And he took the Bible and started reading out of his eye. Do you see what was happening? They thought no one actually laid hands on him. But he accepted what God said about him. He thought. Hallelujah. So anything can happen. The way God said it. But you see, for us to become that, it starts with the thoughts. That's why he says, it's so strange that people think this too much. I am weak. My faith is not much. That's what Christians say. My faith is not much. And my brother, you create that condition. And then don't get worried. And even in the church, people start to think, even say that you don't have much faith. Because you have created that condition yourself. Hallelujah. Whatever it is, my faith is not much. So you will not overcome. Because faith is our victory. What is it? I'm saying any condition. Go back to the word. Go back to the word. Lord, what did you say about this? What did you say about this? I want the Holy Ghost. What have you said about this? Meditate on that. Do you know that he says we should pray for the Holy Ghost until he comes and never tire until he comes?
Yeah.
And even in the prophet's time, people will pray and fast until they receive the Holy Ghost. But now it's hard. People will pray today to the Holy Ghost. Oh, the preacher today has talked about the Holy Ghost. Oh, please God, give me the Holy Ghost. And they never receive the Holy Ghost. I'm saying
the thoughts,
you are creating that condition yourself where God can't help you. The thoughts. What has he said about it? Start meditating on that. Feeding on that. Then see what he does. Because you start becoming what your thoughts are. Feed your mind with the right thing. Hallelujah. Feed it with the word. We know very well the story of Job. He feared. He feared. And exactly those thoughts brought to him what we have been reading about in the Bible. Yeah, he actually said, what I feared has... Sure. You see, he was entertaining those thoughts. He was entertaining those thoughts. Until he became... what he had been thinking about without children, without property, he became exactly what his thoughts were. That's what the prophet says in the message, perfect faith. Exactly that. You can go read paragraph 102. That's what he's saying. Do you see how we can propel ourselves forward by taking responsibility for our thoughts? Hallelujah. You see, we are not eating much. Actually, our very lives prove so. My brother, you don't have to tell me, no, I pray every day. I read the Bible. You don't have to. Your very life. your condition, what will improve what you are doing, what your thoughts are.
Kana kuti unodi every day.
Sure.
Wako
it's not the action. Because he says, you remember even the speaking, he said, it's the thought that materializes the Bible. That's what matters.
Yes.
Mary, I'm sorry, I'm closing now. Very soon. Mary.
Hans Mary.
During her day,
Panguaya.
The word had to be fulfilled.
Shogura,
the Messiah had to come.
Messiah,
and God was just looking.
Mwari,
and do you know how God did it? For the Messiah to come,
kuti Messiah uye,
God prepared a woman,
mwari,
a girl,
muskana,
but she couldn't bear.
Azanga
she couldn't bear Jesus.
Kuti,
no, she couldn't.
Atakure,
she had to
Jesu.
Get into condition.
So,
you know what God did?
Shakaidu
he
na
just threw part of the word for their day.
Akangova kandira, kachikamu ke
and
shogo
got her into condition.
Varage.
I mean, if you read the message Jehovah of miracles and so many other messages, or Mary's belief, you will hear what the prophet is talking about. She heard Isaiah 9 being preached.
Hans Maria akaenda ku church akanzwa Isaiah 9 ichiparidzwa.
Yes. She wasn't just listening.
Anga asina kungogara achiterera.
She got a hold of that.
Asi kuti akazvibata.
It stumbled her. She couldn't understand what it meant.
Akatadza kunzwisisa zvanga ari kunzwa.
But you see, even the preacher of that day did not understand what he was preaching about. You see now what is happening here. How God is helping this woman to manifest the word for her day. He makes sure there is that word comes for, even though this preacher doesn't even believe what he's talking. He doesn't even know. He doesn't
Mwari
even understand. But God has a woman here who has to manifest the word for that day. So then he gets her into condition. She starts meditating on that word. As she is meditating, not just at church, even after she had gone out of church, the prophet is saying, as she was going to draw water from the well, she is meditating on that scripture.
The
word is filling her thoughts. You see what is happening here? Something is happening. God has to come so that she can now become her thoughts.
Kuitira kuti iye Maria akwanise kuva pfungwa dzari kufunga.
This was God's thought, the word.
Iri shoko ranga riri pfungwa ya Mwari.
Yes, God's thoughts, the word.
Pfungwa ya
Mwari. She has taken that into her heart. She doesn't understand, but she's meditating on that, feeding on that. Lord, what do you mean? She's thinking about that.
And then
as she's doing that,
God,
because it's the word for her day,
nokuti ishoko rezuva rake,
God has to come down.
Mwari,
she has to become her thoughts.
Mary,
but you see, the beauty of all this is that her thoughts are actually the word of the hour.
As chaita kuti nyaya iyi itange, inyaya yekuti Maria ari kufunga pfungwa dzeshoko renguva yake.
And then that, you see, that angel comes down.
Ngirozi yomba yaburuka.
He talks to her. See what is happening here. He expounds the word. He helps her. He says, this, you see,
batira,
what has happened here? She has drawn the angel so that the word for her day is fulfilled in her life. You see, I want to be this, I want to be that. Oh, the word says this, the word said, no, don't be anxious.
Oh, yes.
Just go back to the word. What has the prophet said about this? What? What has the Bible said? Meditate on those things.
And
the way for your day. As you start feeding. As you start feeding. God has to make sure.
Because
as a man thinketh in his heart. So is he. You start becoming that. So the prophet is showing us. For Mary to conceive. And then maybe 9 months later, giving birth to the Lord, Jesus Christ. Do you see what is happening here?
It's
starting with the thought. She is speaking the creative word of God. The word that can create that life in her. And then because now the word has become her thoughts. Then she becomes the word. A manifestation of what God promised for that age. And thus us too. We are what our thoughts are. Let's start feeding on the word. Even if you need the Holy Ghost. For most people it is hard to even pray, to sustain a prayer until they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is hard. Why is it so? Your thoughts. If you come back, sort out your thoughts by the word. So this is beyond just positive thinking. This is about taking the word and meditating on it. Thinking, filling your thoughts with the word. The word is creative.
Shoko rinosika.
So when you start feeding on that,
you
start becoming that.
Unotanga kuva shoko.
And here is Mary.
Maria.
She bears a child.
Omba,
where did it come from?
Zabakupi.
She was feeding on the word.
Anga
until God had to come
Mara
and prove it in her own life.
Za wake.
This is why the prophet says
those
the believers, those who have believed this message, you know what their problem is?
He says,
they have to stay in the sun. They have to stay there. Feeding on the word all the time. So our mind is filled with the word of the hour. He actually says, as you are sweeping around the home, as you are washing, whatever you are doing, where you are, whether you are walking, whether you are driving, keep him on your mind. Keep the message of the hour on your mind. The time that the angel met Mary wasn't the time she was going to church. The prophet says she was going to draw water. I'm saying whether you are going to the market, whether you are going to work, you are going to the village, you are going to see a brother, you are going to church,
I'm
saying make sure you sustain those thoughts of the word of the day in your mind.
Gara, wakabatisisa, fungwa zeshoko, shoko renguwa yako, mupfungwa zako.
And I can challenge you, my brother, my sister. If you do that,
ukaita izozo,
even angels will appear.
Kunyangwe ngirozi, zino one kwa oko auri.
You see, do you know this is a promise we have been given in this age? He
says,
do you want angels to appear to you? Keep him on your mind. Then angels will appear. But how many have seen angels? It just shows how much nonsense we are feeding our mind. But brother, sister, even to the very weakest of us, we can live victorious. I'm saying even you have said, I've failed to pray until I receive the Holy Ghost. I'm failing to live the Christian life. Don't worry. God has made a way. Go back to the word. What he said about your condition?
Shoko rakamboti kone chinhano chauri.
What has he said? Start feeding on that. See yourself. Start becoming what you are thinking. It will be easy. It will be easy for you to become prayerful. Why? Because it's that thought, that word, is changing you. You are becoming now more prayerful. You are becoming a good Bible reader. Hallelujah. You are becoming a strong Christian. Why? Because you are your thoughts. And the thoughts you feed your mind, your heart, that's exactly what you become. Hallelujah. That's how God has made this. I know this is a long message, but I just have to stop here. Hallelujah. This is what God is doing in His church. Feeding them with the word. And when they meditate on it, when they feed on that, they think about that all the time. They become exactly that. The prophet was actually even saying, you know that you can even receive the Holy Ghost while you are frying meat at home.
Why?
You see, it's your thoughts that have drawn him to come. You start becoming that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it isn't whether the devil is strong, or whether brothers love me or they don't love
me,
or whether so and so is doing this or that, or whether so and so is going, or whether so and so is a strong Christian. It is what I am feeding on. What my thoughts are lingering on. Now it's a strange thing that this is so much thought of people. Well, I'm weak. My faith is not very much. I'm not a very good Christian. That's just what the devil wants you to say. So each one of us here, never ever again say you are not a good Christian. Never ever think that your faith is not very much. Just take what the word has said. Feed on that.
Meditate
on that. You will see yourself becoming exactly that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's not about strong brethren, people who are strong, they can just, no, it's not about that. We are the bride of Christ.
Yes.
And that's what he died for. This word, the message of the hour, my brother, my sister, is very powerful. It will change you. But you have not been feeding on it. Maybe you have just been listening. As you would listen to the news. As you would read the newspaper. But I'm saying, let's go back. And start meditating on that
way.
And see ourselves being placed positionally in the message of the hour, and seeing our lives manifesting exactly what the bride of this age has to manifest. That's where it's starting from. Hallelujah. God's thoughts are what He is. That's you too. Your thoughts are what you are. May we stand up.